All right, we'll continue from where we stopped last month. We're still in our wisdom series. Practical wisdom from the serpent. Practical wisdom from the serpent. Hallelujah. But you know what? This month is our month of wealth. So we're going to be picking wealth lessons and instructions from the devil. From the serpent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil has always been likened to the serpent. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we are picking practical money, wealth, wisdom from the serpent this month. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I hope you are set for your wealth this month. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to our theme scripture. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 verse 16. The Bible says, "Behold, I will send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." He said, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and what? Harmless as dove." Wise as serpent, harmless as dove. Wise as serpent, harmless as dove. And I told you before that we are not ordinary sheep. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot see us becoming pepper soup. Praise the Lord. Why? Because our own sheep is hybrid. Hallelujah. This sheep that you are looking at, if you make a mistake and think it is an ordinary sheep, you are wrong. Because this sheep is coming with the intelligence and the wisdom of the serpent. It might appear gentle like the dove, but do you know what? He's not an ordinary sheep. Hallelujah. And we began looking that, so if Jesus is saying that we should be as wise as serpent, then what are the wisdoms that we can learn from the serpent? And these are series that we have been looking at. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, we said at least one thing we are sure of is that right from the Garden of Eden, the serpent was there. As a matter of fact, it was the serpent that caused the problem of mankind. Isn't it? And now the question is this. Are serpents still around? Do we still have snakes? Right from the days of what? Right from the Garden of Eden, we still have sheep. But the question is this. Do we still have dragon? Do we still see dragon? You just go and say, "I saw dragon today." Where? Why? They have gone where? Into extinction. Hallelujah. Why did dragons go into extinction? Can anybody answer that question? Why? Do you know why? Because they did not operate by the wisdom of the serpent. They operated by the wisdom of the dragon. Hallelujah. What of lions? Why is it that you just say, as I was just coming to church, praise God, I just saw a lion, and you know, I just walked past it and I came to church. Why? You can't see lions around. Anyhow, as a matter of fact, even if you go to our game reserves, it's very, very difficult for you to spot a lion now in their natural habitat, except you go to what? You go to the zoo. And you know, it's just a matter of time. If care is not taken, most of our lions will go into extinction. As powerful as the lion is, as dangerous as the lion is, as forceful and as ferocious as the lion is, the question is this. Why don't we just have lions strolling around on our streets? You know why? Because the lion is operating by the wisdom of the lion, not the wisdom of the serpent. So we began looking at a series of wisdoms from the serpent. Alright, the next wisdom I want to share with you from the serpent is the wisdom of deadly commitment. The wisdom of what? Deadly commitment. Deadly commitment. Deadly commitment. Giving yourself wholly to a particular task. Giving yourself wholly to a particular what? To a particular task. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. 1 Timothy 4:15. It says, now look at this scripture. The Bible says, meditate on these things. This was an instruction of Paul to the church. So Timothy, his son, the first pastor that we recognize in the church. Hallelujah. And then he was giving him specific instructions. He said, meditate on these things. Now look at what he said next. He said, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's a serious issue. He said, give yourself wholly to what I've told you, Give yourself. What does it mean to give yourself wholly to something? He said, so that your prophet can appear. Give me message. He says, cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. That's one of the characteristics of rich people. That's one of the characteristics of the serpent. Hallelujah. How many people have ever seen a serpent swallow an animal before? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you still have that, my picture of that serpent where I was holding it? Do you still have it? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, there are two types of snake. There are two principal ways by which snakes attack and kill. Now, number one, you see this picture? Number one, you see a serpent that has venom. And then it brings out the venom, adjusts it on its tongue, and then strikes. That's a way by which serpents attack. Now, this particular one I was holding here is a small boa constrictor. Now, it's either the serpent strikes with the venom, or it strikes or it swallows. And how does it swallow? Now, this type that I'm holding here, like I said earlier, is a boa constrictor. How does it attack? It's in the family of the python or the anaconda. How does it attack? It wraps itself around the prey. And when it wraps itself around the prey or the animal or whatever it wants to eat, immediately that animal breathes, it stretches it. Immediately that animal breathes, it stretches it. Immediately that animal breathes, it stretches it. Till it finally finishes killing the animal, drowns the air out of his lungs, and then it will swallow the animal whole. Are you following me now? How does it kill the animal? It wraps itself around the animal from head to toe. Do you understand? From the tail to his head, it wraps everything in it around the animal and stretches that animal till that animal dies. How does it kill? The serpent kills with the whole of his body. It kills with the whole of his body. It kills with the whole of his body. And it is said that the serpent can swallow an animal that is 10 times its size. Hallelujah. Like how many times? 10 times its size. It will swallow it whole. I've seen serpents swallow crocodile. I've seen them swallow pigs. I've seen them swallow antelopes. You know antelope? Those antelope with massive horns. The serpent swallows them with the horn, with the hoof, with the hair on their body, with their teeth, everything. The serpent swallows it. Complete. But how does it do it? It does it by using everything in his body to kill the animal. What is the wisdom in that? That's what we are looking at. It is called the wisdom of deadly commitment. Hallelujah. Anything you are not 100% involved in cannot be a success in your hand. It's not possible. You want to be successful? Be deadly committed to the task. The serpent is committed to his task 100%. His head is there. His tail is there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everything in the serpent is committed to killing his prey. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is the difference between a rich man and a poor man? Proverbs chapter 24 verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 30. I want to read from 30 to 34. Proverbs 24:30. It said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. What has God called you to do? What is your assignment? Are you giving your whole to it? Is your head in it? Hallelujah.
is your leg, your tail in it? Hallelujah. Do you know the interesting thing is this? I discovered from my research that anytime a snake wants to kill a prey, it studies the prey for between 5 to 10 hours without moving. Do you understand that? It studies the animal for how long? From between 5 to 10 hours without moving. Not moving an inch. It stays there and watches. If it's trying to attack a bird, it waits, checks the flight of the bird, the angle at which the bird takes off. It doesn't do any other thing but to concentrate. And it will never sleep. It will just open its eyes and watch the flight of that bird for between 5 to 10 hours without moving. When last did you spend 10 hours on your job? When last did you spend 10 hours, students, to read, not standing up once? Huh? You know what? Damilare, you are operated by the wisdom of Damilare. Not the wisdom of the serpent. All this you read for 5 minutes, you stroll for 1 hour. Hallelujah. It's not the wisdom of a serpent, it's your own wisdom. The guy is committed to his assignment. He doesn't blink, he doesn't move a muscle. That is why when he goes for the kill, he doesn't miss targets. He cannot miss. He already understands the trajectory at which that bird is going to take off. So when he moves, he catches it. I was watching one. It went for a tiger. You know how ferocious that tiger went? I was watching it online. You know that tiger went, killed another animal, sat down, ate it. While the tiger was eating the animal, the serpent was waiting and nodding and watching. Okay. That means this is double dose. No problem. I'm telling you, he watches that tiger for 12 hours. 12 solid hours. As the tiger was coming back, he attacked the tiger, wrapped himself around the tiger. And under 5 minutes, the tiger was dead. And within an hour, the whole tiger was swallowed up. Are you that committed to what you are doing? That's the difference. He said, Solomon told us, he said, I went by the field of the lazy, of a poor man. He said, and I observed. What did he say he observed? He said, I observed that he can sleep. He said, the guy sleeps. He said he can sleep and sleep and sleep. Then he wakes up and complains that why is my field filled with weeds? After he has slept, he said, how long are you going to sleep, oh sluggard? For how long? For how long? He said, don't operate by any other wisdom. Operate by the wisdom of the serpent. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Jesus, Peter, talking to Jesus, he said, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Ha! Look, Peter was not a small boy fisherman. Any fisherman that you have done fishing to the extent that you have your own ship, you should know it's not a small boy. Bible scholars told us that when Jesus and Peter met, Jesus was 30 years old. Peter was 60 years old. Hallelujah. He had started fishing before they gave birth to Jesus. He understood it. But do you know what? When he now changed assignment, now when he discovered that this is the assignment I want to face in life, look at what he said. He said, we have left all and followed it. I have left every other thing that I'm doing to concentrate on this particular vision. He said, and it must be a success. There is no way your head is in an assignment, your leg is in the assignment, your brain is in the assignment, and you will not be a success. That's the characteristics of a rich man. It is said that a rich man walks per day. He walks between 9 and 14 hours every day. Poor people walk between 3 and 7 hours. Does it make sense now? That is the difference. That is the difference. How committed are you to your assignment? Hallelujah. Alright, let me now tell you something. How do I commit myself to my assignment? How do I commit myself that I will say, now I am giving myself wholly to what I am doing? What do I need to throw in so that I can have good results? Number one thing that you need to commit, praise the Lord, is what? Your intelligence and your education. Your intelligence and your education. What did you learn in school? What skill did you learn? Can you bring it to bear on what you are doing now? Can you adapt it to what you are doing? Hallelujah.
I read engineering to master's level. Actually, my master's level, we did a lot of research. And you know what? When I study my Bible, that mind that I acquire, that has been trained for research, I bring it to bear on what I am doing. I understand it.
Moses was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. When he became the prophet, when he became the leader of Israel, he brought to bear every training he had. What am I saying about Paul? Paul was trained in one of the best schools on this planet, under Aristotle. When Paul got his assignment and he began his assignment, Paul wrote 75% of the New Testament. How? His legal mind. He wrote like a lawyer. And he wrote and he gave us. He was not physically present with Jesus, but he wrote more scriptures than Peter. Peter wrote only one book. Or two books. First Peter and Second Peter. Hallelujah. Compared to it, what is it that you have been trained for? Can you bring it and apply it to what you are doing now? When you throw it in, it becomes a success. Number two, your temperament. Can you bring your temperament to bear on what you are doing? How many temperaments do we have? Do we still remember them? Huh? How many? Alright, can we name them? Sanguine, phlegmatic, melancholy, and choleric. Now the question is, do you know the strength and the weaknesses of your temperament? Do you even know your temperament? Can you bring it to bear on what you are doing? Hallelujah. Many people don't even know what their temperaments are. Can you bring that idea? Can you bring it to bear on what you are doing? Can you bring the wisdom to it? You need to get it and you need to throw it inside what you are doing. Number three, your ideas. Your ideas. That's deadly commitment. You bring your ideas into whatever you are doing now. Bring your ideas. Hallelujah. You know, my wife was saying that I promise that the next, that by the time we finish our church, we are going to have iPads on the seat. Yes. It's an idea. I saw it in a movie. Hallelujah. I went for a training on marketing. I went for a training on marketing. And you know, I was just telling my wife, we were there, and I was just telling her that you know everything the lady was saying, I was having ideas and inspiration for church growth. Marketing. I was having ideas and inspirations for church growth. Because this is my assignment now. This is what I'm doing now. Your ideas, what are you doing with them? Just have an idea somewhere. Can you bring it to bear on what you are doing now? That's how to be deadly committed. That's how to give your all into what you are doing. Bring your ideas into it. Number next, bring your connections. Who do you know? Who do you know that can be of help in what you are doing, in your assignment? That is why businessmen are always talking about connections. That's what they're always talking about, connections. Hallelujah. Why? Because they understand that the more they connect, the better and the stronger they become. They understand it. The people that you know, what are you doing with them as regards the assignment you have that is in your hand? Number next, your gifts. These are your natural endowments. Can you bring them to bear on what you are doing? your natural endowments, your natural abilities and gifts, can you bring them to bear on what you are doing? Hallelujah. Number next, your background. Your background. Where did you grow up? What did you learn growing up? Can you bring it to bear on what you are currently doing? Your backgrounds. What your father taught you. What your mother taught you. The background that you are coming from. What did you learn from there? Can you bring it to bear? Can you throw that experience inside what you are doing now? Can you? Number next. Your time. Your time represents you. Your time is your life. Because your ages are counting in time. How much of your time are you giving to your assignments? We just saw that the serpent can watch an animal for 10 hours. He closes his mind to every other thing. He closes his mind to every other thing and focuses his time on that one thing that he wants to achieve. The problem of many poor people is that they are too distracted. Hallelujah. They are what? They are too distracted. They are too distracted. You know, I was speaking somewhere day before yesterday, and I was asking them, I was talking about Linda Ikeji. How many of you know Linda Ikeji? You have seen her blog before. Okay, you have said her blog. I said, how did Linda Ikeji become rich? As a matter of fact, she's one of the richest women on our continent today. Wealthy. I think the last time I checked, she was worth close to $25 million or so. Hallelujah. How did she become rich? Do you know her? Who can tell me? Eh? Is that Mebo? The same guruma that you just say, you know, have you seen, have you heard? She took it to another level. Hallelujah. And she's wealthy. Hallelujah. What are you spending your time on? Number next, your money. Your money. Can you throw money inside what you are doing? Are you putting your resources in? How many books have you bought and read? How many books have you bought and read concerning that topic that you are dealing with? When last did you buy data? You know, I bought this data because I want to study about this topic. When last? Where are you spending the money? Can you throw it inside what you are doing? Then, your energy. Your physical energy. Can you throw it in? Are you throwing it in? The serpent throws in everything it has to go for the kill. Hallelujah. Then, of course, are you involving your friends and family in what you are doing? Can you invite them? Can you throw them in as well? And then finally, you must be wholly committed to God, because He's the one that will bring everything to pass. Your commitment to Him must also be deadly, deadly committed to the things of the Spirit. But there is no way you will achieve it outside of Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Alright, number next, wisdom from the serpent. The serpents are masters of self-defense. Last week, I talked about what? The venom. You remember? But today I'm talking about what? Self-defense. 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 So what are the things I'm to defend myself against? We saw that the serpent defends itself. It is said that most serpents, like we have seen, almost all serpents, none naturally attacks man. Maybe except the one they sent from your village. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But serpents naturally don't attack man. They just lie there on their own. But do you know what? Now there is a problem now. Anytime you attack the serpent goes for the kill. Do you understand? That's why the serpent has a deadly reputation. The serpent doesn't go to injure you. No. That's not his intention. When you disturb the serpent, he goes for the jugular. He goes for the kill. He wants to finish whatever is disturbing his peace. Anything that threatens the existence of the serpent finishes it. That's why it has that deadly reputation. He's on his own. He's as gentle as the dove. But when you threaten his corporate existence, it finishes you. He rises to the occasion and defends itself. It defends its territory. That's the serpent. And I'm going to be showing you certain things that you need to defend, specifically this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, that's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Now, look at what Paul was also telling Pastor Timothy, which is also telling the church. Look at it. He said, take it unto thyself. Defend yourself. Take it unto thyself. And he said what? And unto thy doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself. We said, when you take it to yourself, you will save yourself. When you take it, when you defend your zone, when you defend your territory, then you are saved. That's what he was telling him. Hallelujah. Now let me show you an example in scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 17 verse 8. I'll read quickly from verse 8 to 10. 2 Samuel chapter 17 verse 8. Now, you remember when Absalom took over the kingdom from his father, and his father left the palace and ran away with some of his men. So they were planning to go after David and attack David. Now, one of the loyalists of David was, fortunately that day, he was sent into their midst. His name was Hushai. I once shared about him. His name was Hushai. He was the one that finished Ahithophel. So his name was Hushai. So when they wanted to go after David, he now made a statement. Now look at what he said. He said, for said Hushai, thou knowest thy father. He started talking about Absalom, about David to Absalom. He said, for thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chaffed in their minds, as a deer robbed of her whelps in the field. Huh. He said, look at your father. He's a gentleman. He doesn't like trouble. He said, but you should know that presently is like what? A deer that is robbed of his cubs. That's what he was talking about. He said, and thy father is a man of war, and he will not lodge with the people. Now, next verse. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that followed Absalom. If you go after him, he said, none of you will return alive. Verse 10. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. He said, if you fight David, he said, leave him where he has gone to. He said, any attempt to go after David, David will swarm on you like a deer that is robbed of his cub. He said, David will rise up and defend himself. He will rise. He will fight. He will defend himself. Serpents are wise. Because they are what? Masters of defense. I told you last week that if you see a snake on the ground, and you think or you thought that it was it is what? And you just felt, well, this is rubber hose. And you pick it up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You will understand the difference between rubber hose and rubber snake. Hallelujah. It will rise and defend itself. But this month, we are talking about what? Wealth. So I want to show you what you should defend yourself against so that you can be wealthy. Hallelujah. So you must rise to defend yourself against the spirit of poverty. We are talking about wealth. Servants are masters of self-defense. So should you be. So what are the things that you need to defend yourself against so that you can become wealthy? Hallelujah. So you must defend yourself. You must defend your family. You must defend your assignment against poverty.
How do you do that? Number one, you must defend yourself against poverty by being a diligent hard worker. Make up your mind that you will work nothing less than 8 hours every day. You know, after service, some days when I have time, I just rest. If it did, once a service has ended, I've started preparing for next Sunday. Today. I'm not waiting till Saturday. No, from today. All my head is thinking is next Sunday and next Wednesday. You must make up your mind. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 9. Make sure you defend yourself against poverty by being what? A hard worker. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 9. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? We are back to this issue now. How long? He said, when will thou arise out of thy sleep? Say this month. Is it this month? Today. Do you understand? When will you arise? Today. You have slept for too long. It's time to arise. And defend yourself. And defend your zone. And defend your territory. He said, how long? Go to next verse. Verse 10. Yet a little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. What does that mean? Defend yourself against poverty by being what? Hard worker. Work hard. Work hard. Don't be lazy. Lazy people becomes broke. Lazy people becomes poor. Number two, defend yourself against poverty by paying your tithes and giving offerings. That's how to defend yourself against poverty. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 and 10. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Defend your prosperity. Defend your wealth. Number three now. Defend yourself against poverty by building your own house. By doing what? By building your own house. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 3. Look at this scripture. The Bible says, how is a house built? It says, true wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Did you see money there? Did you see money there? No. You know, I was listening to a man of God, Dagiwad. And you know, I couldn't just believe his story. He said, as a university student, he came across the scripture where Jesus Christ gathered the 12 baskets and the remnants. And he asked them to gather the remnants. And he said, God told him that, look, it is remnants they use in building. You can start building. He's a medical student. As at that time, I think he said he was in 300 level. So he said that day, the thing was so strong in his spirit that I want to build a house. And all he saw that revelation. And all his colleagues just said, this guy, you know, there are some people like that. He said, why do you just believe the Bible like that? So why do I believe the Bible like that? Bible didn't say you build a house with money. He said you build it with wisdom. So he said he just kept the money in his pocket. And guess what? He said, I want to start building. And they were looking at him. And then they went to the market. And they went and bought switch. Socket. 13 amp socket. And he brought it. He said, I've started building. So when everybody sees it, he doesn't have a land. He said, I'm building. I'm building. He said, before the end of that session, he has bought so much switches and sockets. You understand? That he knew that he will have surplus when he fixed it in his house. And he said he continued like that. He started earmarking amounts of money. Little by little by little by little. He said by the time he finished medical school, and by the time he finished completely, he has already completed his house. 5-bedroom. So he married into his 5-bedroom apartment. How? The Bible didn't say you use money to build. It said true wisdom is a house, build it. And by understanding, it is established. Defend yourself. I think I saw something online. I can't remember. I was reading it on one somebody's status. He said, if you have a Land Cruiser and you have a Land Rover and you still have a landlord, you are stupid. See, do you understand that? If you have what? A Land Rover and a Land Cruiser and you have a landlord, that is the definition of insanity. Do you understand? Because combined, those two cars, by the grace of God, are close to what? 50 million. Do you understand? They are close to what? 50 million. So you have a Land Cruiser, you have a Land Rover, and you still have a landlord. You are a candidate for Arrow. Next. Defend yourself against poverty by sowing seeds. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 24. Proverbs 11:24. It said, there is that scattereth and increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Can you imagine? He said, not sowing seed is what makes people poor. I'm studying poor people. When you read Proverbs, study poor people. Every time you see sluggards, every time you see the slothful, every time you see the poor, or every time you see the word poverty, underline it in your Bible. Write out that scripture. Then read it very well. Look at the instruction there. Look at what made those people poor. Yeah, what makes people poor is not because they are giving. It's because they are keeping. That's the agenda in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Number next now. You need to defend yourself against poverty by fighting deterioration. Now this is a strange wisdom that I want to impart with you today. You need to fight deterioration in your life. How do we do that? Proverbs chapter 27 verse 23. Proverbs 27 verse 23. Proverbs 27:23. It says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. He said, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. I once preached on this topic. What is he talking about? He said, you must know the status of that thing that is bringing money into your pocket. Current status. Everything in life starts to disintegrate or degenerate once you start using it. It is called the law of entropy. Now, if you don't understand these principles, you will run into trouble. You are running a business. How much are you plowing back into the business? How much? Do you know the current state of your ship? Do you know? As a student, how much are you putting back into your academics? How much time? How much energy? How much resources are you throwing back into it? Everything starts to decay. Immediately they are giving birth to. They start spoiling. It's the law of entropy. That is the law of our world. You need to understand it. That's why when you leave a house unoccupied, naturally it disintegrates. So how do I defend myself along this line? For example, if you're doing business, defend yourself by advertising. Before I was born, Coca-Cola was advertising. Now I am born. Now I am grown. Coca-Cola is still advertising. When will Coke stop advertising? When? When there is no more Planet Earth. It's a wisdom. What are they trying to do? They kept advertising to reinvest back, to get more people into their vision. That's why every Sunday we always tell you, invite people, invite people, invite people. We are plowing back. We understand it. How do I defend myself against this law? Study rich people. Study their attitudes.
study their wisdom, study their culture, and imbibe them into your life. Learn. Be a conscious learner. Pick wisdom from men that have gone ahead of you. Reinvest in your business. If not, you wake up one day and discover that you have no business again. Why? Because both the capital and the profit, everything eating up. Learn to reinvest into it. That's how to fight against this. The Bible says, know the state of your flock and look well to thy herds. Whatever is bringing money to you, reinvest in it. Reinvest in your life. Plan ahead. Rise like the serpent and defend yourself against what? Anything that is threatening your wealth. Anything that is threatening your existence. Defend yourself. And that's how to defend your zone. That is how to defend your territory. The serpent is wise. Why? Because he knows how to defend itself against poverty. Do you understand that? Next week, by the grace of God, I'm going to be showing you frugality of the serpents. You'll be shocked. I'll be showing you. And then we continue from there by the grace of God. Why not bow down your heads as we begin to talk to God this morning?